You got Sleigh Bells, Riot Rhythm. And if you watch AIW at all, you know what that means. It's Veda time on the interview show right here on PWPonderings.com. Hello, everybody. My name is not Jerome Cusan. In fact, my name is Des Delgadillo here for you, filling in this time on the interview show. And before we get to our feature presentation, I do want to take a minute and tell you about all the awesome ways you can support us here on PWPonderings.com. Of course, this website is for the fans, by the fans, and sometimes friends help each other out. And you can do that in a few easy, convenient ways, the easiest of which is by using our Amazon link on the homepage of Pro Wrestling Ponderings. That's pwponderings.com. If you buy anything using that Amazon link, and I mean anything, books, school supplies, even groceries if you want, use the link on our little website, and we get just a little bit of a kickback from the giant corporation that is Amazon. They help us out a little bit, and it costs you nothing extra. So it's just a nice, easy, convenient way to help your friends out at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. And if you want to get your wrestling fix, you can do that as well. We've got a link up for High Spot stuff. Same place, pwponderings.com. Just use that link. Of course, you can bookmark these links too and just hit up those bookmarks whenever you want to buy something and help PW Ponderings out. Buy stuff from High Spots. They've got PWG. I know you love you some Pro Wrestling Gorilla. And all sorts of other stuff. That new Jim Crockett documentary is out, which is fantastic. I don't know why you haven't bought it yet. What are you doing with your life? Buy that DVD. Use the High Spots link on Pro Wrestling Ponderings. And again, costs you nothing extra. And it gives us just a little bit of help so we can pay for the podcasts, pay for the website, all that stuff. Because websites, unfortunately, cost money. But now I'll get to why you actually tuned in to this podcast, now that you know how you can support us and be a good friend. Veda Scott's on the show. It is indeed Veda time. She's wrestling Allison Kay on Sunday for the AIW Women's title, so who better to have on the show than one half of your main event at AIW? Veda Scott, right now on the show, talking all sorts of really interesting topics, including, but not limited to, why women don't get as much of an opportunity to talk as the men in pro wrestling. Really interesting stuff. Let's get to her right now. My conversation with Veda Scott on PWPonderings.com. On October 6th, Absolute Intense Wrestling has a double dose of Girls Night Out action with a double taping of Girls Night Out 9 and 10. Tickets and information are available at shop.aiwrestling.com. Our guest right now is one half of the main event when she challenges AK-47 Allison Kay for the AIW Women's title. Veda Scott, welcome to the interview show.
Hello. Like I said, sorry, I'm sick, so my voice is kind of weird.
Yeah, it's podcast back season, right in the middle of flu season. Let's see if you can survive the interview here, Veda. I hate to
be fine. I'm just gonna be like snotting and gross the whole time. But
no, I hate to be the one that.
Oh, that's me always. I don't know.
I hate to be the one that puts you out of commission here. Well, as we get through this here, I mean, I just want to ask you right off the bat. We're talking about AIW. That's the big thing coming up this weekend. You know, you started with AIW back at Girls Night Out 4, and typically, you know, girls, they come in for the AIW, the Girls Night Out shows, and they disappear until the next one. But instead of being exclusive to the Girls Night Out brand, you became a mainstay at every AIW show. Did you expect that to happen when you signed on for your first Girls Night Out?
No, I didn't. I'm always looking for places where I can, get booked there on a regular basis, because it's always fun and good to kind of just invest yourself and be able to, like for instance, what I've done with AIW, just, you know, work in front of the same people and, get them really invested in what you're doing. And it's a good way to kind of try out new things. But I didn't expect that with AIW, because like you said, they kind of had segregated excuse me, the women's stuff off the different shows, and they're great shows, and I love doing them. But no, I hadn't thought that, you know, I would become, I guess you'd say, a regular at AIW. I think I've been on every AIW show since the Absolution 7, which is when I joined up with Greg Iron for the right. first time. And I think I've been on every show since. And it's been, I consider AIW really to be my home now. And as much as I sometimes disagree with some of the management there mm-hmm. and some situations that I've been placed in terms of Veda Scott, I consider them my home. If you look at my career, which is very new, they're the first place to ever, give me a lot of freedom in terms of exploring what I want to be and what I want to do. And I think that they've kind of turned me into what I am now, for better or worse. It's been really the most beneficial part of my career, just the consistency there with AIW.
Hit you with a little bit of trivia real quick, Veda. Do you know the other lady with whom you share the honor of appearing on all AIW shows since Absolution 7?
I think it would be Silesia.
That's right. Silesia Sparks. I see you've developed quite a friendship lately on Twitter.
Yeah, the thing with Silesia and I, she's someone who I didn't know at all before I started doing things with AIW, and now she also has started to work with Ring of Honor as well, so we do see quite a bit of each other. That's something that it's really cool. There's a couple, and I don't know if you're planning to get on this at all, because there's some people from AIW who are about to start or have their first Ring of Honor, I guess you say main show matches, and they've done a dark match. That's Ethan Page and Jason Alexander, Josh Alexander. This next Ring of Honor show in Minnesota. So there's a whole group of people who have really, those guys are so talented, but I feel like they really had the past year and a half in AIW to kind of just figure out exactly what they do, and watching them just perform every month and grow every month has been crazy. And now the rest of the country and the rest of the world is getting to see that. And the same with Silesia. Like it's really cool to see, you know, a little group of people who I've really enjoyed spending so much time with in the past year start to get really successful. And I feel like AIW has been just such a great avenue for that too, in terms of exposure, in terms of just us figuring out what we do.
No, it is very cool, even as a fan, watching guys like Josh Alexander, Ethan Page sort of hone their craft in AIW, and recently getting to see Ethan and Josh come down here to Southern California for the IWL, mm-hmm. and also starting up in a Ring of Honor very soon. It's really exciting, I think, on both ends of the spectrum. I do want to talk to you, though. And I think this was actually very interesting, but this is going somewhere, I promise.
Excuse me, sorry.
Not a problem.
Just ignore my nastiness over here. I might be dying. It's fine. This might be my last podcast.
It's all right. All you need is a couple monster energies. You'll be fine. How much of your run, your ability to sort of be booked on every AIW show, how much of that would you say is due to your ability to get on the microphone and talk?
I would say that the majority of my career has a lot to do with that. Only just because everyone has something they do that's a little bit different. Like whether you have like a particular move that you do or a particular style that you wrestle. And I have a particular style that I wrestle that works really well in a lot of situations. But when there's times where you need to do something a little bit extra, my little bit of extra thing is that I can talk, or I think I can talk, and it's become something that that I've been able to, you know, maybe carve out a little niche for myself with that. And I know it's helped me get opportunities that maybe I wouldn't otherwise. I think that definitely has been helpful in terms of AIW, because it means that I can always at least attempt to contribute something all the time, and that's important. Like I said, you know, everyone has different roles and everyone has different abilities and everyone has different things that they're really good at and really bad at, and it's a matter of figuring it out. And again, that's something that AIW has helped me with, the consistency of, you know, me being able to explore, like, here's what I can do, here's what I can't do, here's what I really, really suck at, here's what I might be pretty good at. And being able to take that and apply that to other places and other avenues, like, it's been so great.
For, you know, for you, I watch you, and you strike me as someone who is very comfortable with a microphone, and just watching your segments over the last year with Greg Iron have really shown that you're just having a lot of fun with what you're doing, and you're very comfortable with that. In terms of just wrestlers in general, how important do you think talking is to the overall package and just to getting established in a wrestling promotion?
Well, I might have I don't want to say I have a different perspective. And again, like, I don't want to overstep anything that I'm saying, because again, I'm looking at this from just an overall perspective, not necessarily from my perspective. And again, I'm very new to wrestling. So, like, who the fuck am I? Like, well, I'm sorry. Can I curse? I shouldn't have said that.
You,
like,
can say whatever you want.
Who the F am I? So again, anything I say, like, please, I'm not saying this like I have any knowledge or credibility, but these are just observations, particularly coming from, you know, the work I am around, you know, in Ring of Honor, and I see that element of television wrestling, and I think that's a goal that most people in wrestling have, is to get to some sort of televised product, be it WWE or wherever, and what I've learned is that an ability to communicate is so paramount, just because, again, it's something that's a little bit extra that a lot of people maybe don't work on it as much. I don't know. I think there's so many, the thing is that there's so many talented athletes right now. Like, the level of athleticism and what goes on in the ring is just phenomenal, and it's always been great, but particularly in independent wrestling right now, it's just far and away, just there's so much variety, and everyone is getting really, really, really good, and there's just so many different opportunities for people. But if you have something that makes you a little bit different, where you can convey, like, what about you is different and what about you is engaging, and one way to do that, like you said, is to be able to talk and communicate on a microphone or film interviews. And I think that is something that really can set people apart when they're trying to get to a particular level in terms of, you know, television or whatever. So yeah, I think I'm just babbling now, but just from what I've seen, it's very important. And something can be, you know, a difference maker in terms of, you know, what opportunities people get. But it's just another, like, piece of the puzzle, I think.
Well, maybe
it's a bigger piece for some people,
right?
And it has to be. Maybe it's a smaller piece for other people. Maybe other things to make up for. It's just sort of, from what I can tell, it's just sort of knowing what you do well and figuring that out and emphasizing that.
Now, here's the point I wanted to touch on with you, Vade. I wanted to get to this. I notice in wrestling, most of the women really don't get a chance to talk. And you pointed out, when you don't talk, oftentimes it's harder to connect with people. And obviously, there are some great women talkers out there. Saraya Knight immediately comes to mind when I think of women talkers. Why do you think, just as somebody who is a women's wrestler and is just kind of breaking in, or is broken in and is now just sort of climbing the ranks, why don't women get the microphone as often as the guys do?
Well, I think there's always a lot of factors that play into that. I think sometimes the opportunity is just not given. Like, there's just not, and this is just, I think about this a lot, obviously. This is a question that people ask me a lot or want to talk about a lot. Just because I used to do the interviewing for Ring of Honor, so I've kind of become a broadcaster. Like, I'm known as someone who stands there with a microphone in your hand. Mm-hmm. That's why. But so it's something I put a lot of thought into, and I think sometimes the opportunity is just not there. You know, the time isn't given, and that's a problem. But I also think sometimes people don't necessarily take the initiative. Like, you can always make sure that, you know, you're out there. Be it, I know a lot of people have gotten really good at, you know, their own social media and putting their own little interviews out there.
Right.
And I think that's something anyone can do, really, if you want to. There's no reason not to. And I just, I don't know, like some things are not as emphasized. I don't know if it's just a thing for women or again, people not taking the initiative, but I think there's so many factors that go into it. But yeah, I don't think there's ever one thing. I don't think there's any, like any one factor at fault. But I think if it's something that you really want to work on or you want to be more exposed with, it's a matter also of just kind of taking initiative and just getting out there. Like if you look back over the past few years, people who have really made an online presence for themselves and kind of filmed their own little web shows and things and how that's worked out for them in terms of connecting with fans, there's no reason that you can't just do that if that's something that you want to pursue or if you feel like you've not been given the time or the opportunity to put yourself out there and get over what you think you're good at or get over aspects of your personality that you want to convey, then there's no reason why you can't just do it yourself.
Right. That's a very good point. I want to continue kind of looking at that sort of that aspect of just, you know, just, it's a little different. I got to say when I would say anyway, and maybe you'd agree with me when you're a woman, a lady wrestler breaking into professional wrestling. I mean, I'm very curious about this. You got into a situation where you won the AIW tag titles with Greg Iron and held them for 8 months. Were the matches leading up to that run your first time in the ring with other men, or did you have experience with that?
No. I'm probably more used to it, or I came into wrestling more comfortable being in the ring with men. This is not uncommon at all for a lot of women. I mean, I guess there are people who are trained, you know, exclusively like with other girls. But I mean, I was trained by men and with men, and so that was what I was used to. You know, it was rare sometimes to have another woman around at all. So it wasn't until I started wrestling outside of training that I was really working with women on a regular basis. And I continued to work with men all the time. I continued to train with pretty much exclusively all guys. You know, we'll have occasionally a woman in here and there, but that's just the numbers and how they work out. You know, it's not like exclusively all female like training schools anywhere for the most part. So yeah, that wasn't new. It was comfortable, and there's never been like a weirdness element to it. And I think that just it depends, like, you know, who you factor in and who you're going to be wrestling and how they feel about it. But no, it wasn't like a new thing for me at all.
Obviously, I'm not going to ask you to point fingers and name names, but have you ever gotten into that situation where you get in the ring with somebody and they're just not comfortable handling?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. I think we all have. I think any woman who works with men or vice versa has had that situation. I certainly have. And I'm just from conversations I've had with other people, it's pretty common and it's stupid and it's regressive and it just shows that you are not confident enough in your own abilities, I think.
Now, what's your take on wrestling companies and the way they present these intergender matches? I know a lot of women are doing intergender match. A lot of people are doing intergender matches on the indie scene, while companies like WWE and TNA are absolutely shy away from it. They refuse to have men and women in the ring together at the same time. What's your take on just the really a world of difference in the way companies present that today?
Well, I wish there was a lot more just like straight intergender everywhere, only because, and I'm not at all speaking for myself, but I'd rather see people who can wrestle and are entertaining and are athletic and are talented regardless of gender,
right.
and having, you know, matches that are engaging and matches that are interesting and matches that are fun to see, regardless of who's involved, whatever the actual like pieces might be. But I can understand why that's something that's a little bit of a harder sell, to more of a mainstream audience. There's still that taboo element of intergender violence. There's still the believability factor, I think, how you present that. And there's also a lot of times this over sweeping like sexual element to things and that I don't necessarily agree with, and I try to never let become much of a factor when I approach a match, but it's the obvious way to go. But I can see that definitely being a hard sell and an uncomfortable point to, like, say, a mainstream, like a WWE-type audience. So I can see that perspective of it. And if you're not going to do it right, then why do it at all? I feel that way about a lot in wrestling. Like, if it's not going to be good, then why do it?
No, absolutely. I mean, I do want to talk a lot about AIW, but I want to talk also...
Yeah, absolutely.
I do want to talk briefly about... you know, it hasn't been featured too much on television yet, but we're starting to see inklings of that AIW character that, you know, the lawyer Veda Scott that came to prominence in AIW. We're kind of seeing that now in Ring of Honor with R.D. Evans and QT Marshall. Is mm-hmm. is that just an example of taking something that worked and building on it somewhere else? And whose call was it to sort of take that character and do things with it in other places?
Well, I'm not going to get too much into the details of that because I never really like talk about those inner workings. But what I will say is that I think that Veda Scott in AIW is very close to Veda Scott in general, and kind of how I envision everything to be and how I've kind of always seen this. And so it's something that I think comes out overall, even as I'm discussing, like, you know, aspects of like future career plans and that sort of thing. And it's something that's connected with people, which I'm very happy about, obviously, because it keeps me employed, wherever I might be. So I think it was one of those, inevitable things. And the time that I've spent, as a broadcaster with Ring of Honor, in terms of doing the interviews, doing commentary, that sort of thing was completely, completely unexpected and, not anything that I thought I would ever be doing. And the fact that I got the opportunity to do it is just unbelievable to me, and how much I learned and how much I grew in these skills that I acquired and the people that I got to work with, like Kevin Kelly, Jim Cornette, so many people to just sort of mentor me and guide me when I had no idea what I was doing, and how that's helped me just become, I think, at least like in life, just more poised and more articulate, and just giving me skills in terms of television and broadcasting that I never thought I would have. Mm-hmm. And so as people often, and I'm sure you've seen this on the internet, you know, people always ask me, like, why aren't you like this in Ring of Honor? You know, why aren't you this wherever you might be, you know, whatever they see me do in AIW. And that's just because that's just not, that wasn't my role. That was not my job. But to be given the opportunity to maybe show off a little bit more of that, which is a lot closer to my actual personality and that sort of thing, is really cool. And I'm so excited for it. And obviously, like you said, I seem to be having a lot of fun because I'm always having a lot of fun. I think it's hopefully going to become, you know, the ball is rolling. So hopefully you'll be seeing a lot more of it in the we were involved in both of the events over the weekend in Philadelphia, so hopefully I'll be sticking around.
Looking forward to it. R.D. Evans, it must be just an absolute joy to work with.
I would not disagree with that.
A fan on Twitter wants to know, if you're a former AIW tag champion, you're probably going to win the AIW women's title in October. I hate to... not
Thanks.
Be objective there, but a fan on Twitter basically wants to know if you're aiming to be a Grand Slam champion by winning the AIW Intense title and Absolute title anytime soon.
Sure, why not? I mean, the opportunity hasn't come up, but I'm not opposed to pursuing that.
Okay, now I got to ask you about this because I will be fired if I don't ask this question. The big tag title run. The tag title run came to an end at Absolution when you and Greg lost to the Batiri, and I think everybody remembers the post-match best of all. You getting curb stomped in a kiddie pool full of cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers, yes.
Who said this would be funny?
Apparently the Batiri said this would be funny because they're the ones who pulled the cheeseburgers out from under the ring.
Oh, man. I... I mean, how many people since then have just come to you and gone, what was that?
Quite a few. Well, and also a couple months before the Baterian whipped out the bacon bit, thumbtacks as well.
Yes.
So there's been a lot of meat weapons used against me. Yeah, and those were, those sure were cheeseburgers too.
Now,
I've not had a cheeseburger that close to my face since I was 13 years old. So, right.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. You are a vegan. Are you vegan because of health reasons, or is it because you just love animals?
It's a whole lot of everything. And actually, I don't really have like one specific reason to point out that I went vegetarian. It's just something that I'd always been interested in. I never ate a lot of meat. It kind of always grossed me out. And then once I was able to kind of prepare food and take care of myself, like I said, I was about 13, 12 or 13, I just stopped with it. So it's never been difficult. It's never been like hard decision. I don't miss it at all. Like this is the standard list of vegetarian questions. Mm-hmm. Nope, I'm all good.
Even on the road, as you know, you seem to be driving quite a lot. It's pretty easy to keep up the diet.
Well, the thing is, though, I mean, anyone who's traveling a lot but is, you know, very into fitness and that sort of thing, you know, a lot of people carry coolers and stuff on the road, and you can't just eat crap all the time anyway, and that's not how I live my life in general. Mm-hmm. I try to keep, you know, a pretty regimented diet in general, except for all the caffeine and artificial sweeteners and chemicals that I'm constantly pouring down my throat.
Well, there's that.
But I'm, I that's something that's important to me, and it's not anything. So it's not difficult necessarily to be, you know, vegetarian or whatever on the road. It's just a matter of planning, and you know, dragging around a giant cooler and just always finding. You can always find a grocery store. You know, there's always a microwave to make your oatmeal. It's just planning. It's the same planning as anyone else. And for me, it's not really that different because it's just how I am during the week anyway.
Right.
I mean, there's difficult aspects of it. Like if you stop at a restaurant, perhaps there's like less options. But I've been doing it so long, and especially with like smartphones and things, it's so easy to find options. There's so many websites and things where you can always check things, look things up, and look up ingredients and look up restaurants. So it's work, but it's not any different work than anyone else has in order to just like stay healthy on the road.
I'm going to put you on the spot real quick, and maybe you've lost count today, or you're sick, so maybe it's a low number. How many caffeinated, carbonated beverages have you had today?
Well, let's see. It's Tuesday, so I'm just thinking about my training schedule on Tuesday. I know I've had coffee twice. No, I had a mug of coffee in the morning. I had two coffees since, and then there was some pre-workout in there. Do you count that? Because that's got caffeine. This is the one I'm using has caffeine in it. So it's some pre-workout, and there was I shared a Blue Monster with someone, so half. So that's a low end because I'm not traveling at all today.
So when you travel, is it more overload?
It's probably more, yeah.
Wow. All right.
At this point, I'm so caffeinated all the time that it's just keeping me going. There's no up, there's no down. It's just keeping me on an even keel. And this is not even a wrestling thing. This is like residual from law school and never sleeping then.
Right.
No. So I'm just careening towards an early grave, but it's all right. It's all right.
I'm with you.
I
think we're both pretty much on the same kick right now. So, I see where I'm headed. Let's talk about your title match coming up with Allison Kay. You know, Kay's been women's champion for well over a year now. She's been all over Japan lately. Let's talk about this. You earned your shot against her after winning a ladder match against three other women back in March. How nerve-wracking is it to earn your shot in March and have to wait 7 months before actually getting the opportunity?
Well, part of the reason I had to wait so long was because Allison Kay hasn't been around. So for me, at this point, this is something that's inevitable. And I've had the chance, you know, to do other things in the interim. But the fact is, you know, she hasn't been around AIW. And I've been feeling down, kind of evaluating the situation, had a lot of time to think about it. And so it's less a matter of waiting in general and more just waiting for the available time. Because she hasn't been in the country, and then before that she wasn't on a few shows. We had J-Lit in there. Like, there's been other things going on to keep me busy. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I've just been sitting and waiting.
So Kay is violent. She's a little unstable. The machete scares me. Are you ready?
Well, the machete also scares me. However, I mean, it's unlikely that she would actually murder me.
Well,
with the machete, it's unlikely. Okay. I mean, I'm just looking. There's a lot of paperwork involved, and it's beyond camera. So it's unlikely. I feel that the machete will factor in terms of like my actual demise. So there's only so much preparation I have to put into that. It just seems unlikely that she'll kill me with a knife, with a machete.
She'll find other ways, though. I mean, she might.
Well, I'm just saying, it's unlikely. Like, everyone talks about the machete. It's like a 30-70 chance that she would actually murder me.
I love how you brought actual numbers into that. All right. In terms of wrestling obstacles, I know you've wrestled a lot of violent people. Where does Allison Kay rank, and where, in terms of your wrestling accomplishments, would taking the title off of somebody who has been on such a hot streak like Allison Kay, where would that rank for you right now?
I mean, it would be incredible. It'd be probably my biggest accomplishment. I've never won a singles championship in wrestling. I mean, I've never even really had the opportunity to try for one. So it'd be huge, especially in AIW, where, like you've said, I've kind of tried to sink my claws in or just like hook on like a barnacle. And I think this would help cement that as well.
Well, Veda, I'm excited. I've you know, I don't want to sound all possessive or whatnot, but I've been watching you for a very long time, and I'm super excited to see you in the main event on October 6th. Shop.aiwrestling.com if you want to buy your combo pack tickets right now. And, of course, we'll have much more coverage on pwponderings.com. Veda, how can the people find you? How can they wish you good luck, like you need it, on your social media?
Well, on Facebook, it's just Veda Scott. You can find me under that. And then Twitter, it's at It's Veda Time, is my Twitter. And I don't have any other, I have an Instagram, but like, I don't really have any other, media presence so much. But again, like Des, like you mentioned, the AIW website is a good place to go, in terms of other AIW shows. So definitely check that out. Looking past Girls Right Out, not that I want to go too far past that, but they're also doing a double Dare tag team tournament in the beginning of November that I'm pretty excited about because I'm in that also. And I love tag team wrestling, and tag wrestling is just super hot right now.
Yes.
So that's exciting too. So definitely check that out in terms of tickets as well. And again, not to move past Girls Right Out at all, but since that's been what we've talked about, that's the next other AIW show that's coming up.
What's the deal, really quick, with you and Greg Iron getting into an argument at the last show? What?
Well, we're just passionate people, and sometimes mistakes are made by one of us, and then sometimes I have to express my displeasure with those mistakes. But you know, in the end, things work out however they'll work out.
No more fighting, you guys.
I didn't know that I was going to have to talk about this part. I didn't know you were going to ask me about Greg.
No more fighting, you guys. That hurts me. All right. Thank you, Veda. And make sure you you feel better by the show on October 6th.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I don't know what I'm gonna add. Vitamin C. What do people do for illnesses? I don't do doctors.
I don't know. Just drink a couple energy drinks. Right. You'll be fine.
Yeah, that works. That's fine. I'll just be hovering. I will hover my way down to the ring.
All you need is your vitamin blue. All right. So big thanks to Veda Scott for coming on the program, and thanks to you for listening. Remember our social media, twitter.com/PWPonderings. Facebook.com is Pro Wrestling Ponderings. And remember to leave us nice reviews on iTunes. and keep checking pwponderings.com for all your indie wrestling needs. I'm Des Delgadillo for pwponderings.com.